Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button. Before we start, our sister show, Father Show, Daddy Show. Our Daddy Show, Plumbing the Death Star, is coming to London for one night only at the Leicester Square Theatre on Sunday the 27th of March at 8 p.m. So if you want to see myself, series regular and human fighter enthusiast Jackson Bailey, and our best friend Joel Dusha talk about an Iron Man or whatever, then I suggest heading to the show notes and grabbing some tickets. We announced the show last week, about 70% of tickets are already sold, so get in quick. Oh, but zammit, I'll just wait until you announce the inevitable Leeds or Manchester or Clun show. Well, I'm sorry to say, it's not happening. We just don't have the time. We're going over to see my family, and I'm getting married the week before. Well, not married exactly, we're already legally married. This is just a part two of a three-part adventure that has been spread over multiple years because, you know, COVID. Anyways, we're doing London so this can be a tax write-off and so we can cover flights for my boys because tickets are spending right now and I'd like my best men over there for that. Anyway, it's a whole thing, so come on down. It's Mother's Day. You can bring her. She'll love it. Say hello to your mum for us. There you go, a cheeky little Rogue Live reference. Look, it's going to be a blast. Anyways, check the show notes. We'll probably do another show during the week, just organising a venue. Turns out, trying to organise an international live show 1 month before, not our brightest idea. Didn't really think that one through. Anyway, we'll see you there. Show notes, check them. Just go to... You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Previously on Stories from the Grey Hill Free Company.
I think that breaking as much as we can can't be bad.
And if there was that plinth underwater, which is the same as that one, then perhaps these are used sort of interchangeably, or like opening a door with a key.
It's back. It's back. Put it back.
You put it back? All right. The machine begins spinning up again. Yeah. The water level stops rising and goes back down. You take the sphere. Do you let the water rise and see what it does?
Yeah, we have to run as well.
All right. Well, you pretty quickly establish that the water only comes up to about your waist, and then it stops.
More. We got to collect more. Can
Absolutely.
I confer with the gang to see what they think about my plan? I don't know how
to... Aola and Chantel seem to be of the opinion that it is quite dangerous, and they seem genuinely concerned for your safety. Saren looks at you, gives you a big smile, and says, "I think this is a great idea." She seems excited.
Oh, Saren.
Utensils on those tables. It looks like some sort of workshop, specifically for iron golems. Several iron golems lay on these workshop tables. That golem lashes out, tree stump. You are the nearest to it. Let's go to initiative.
I was doing it slowly.
The golem moves so much faster underwater. You are not sure if that is something to do with the repairs or the whatever was being done here, or if it had something, or if maybe just it's something to do with them being underwater. Maybe they move faster underwater. Maybe they like it.
This does not make any sense.
But this golem lashes out with incredible speed. Its hand grabs yours, Big T, twists, turns, and crushes. Or at least it attempts to.
I don't like that this can swim. You know? I just...
I tried to do it slowly. I tried to lift it slowly.
I can't fathom an iron... I mean, I guess this is magic. I just cannot fathom one swimming. You know?
Big T, you were positioned in just such a way that you could have already kicked off the podium. And so you do that with the orb in your hands, and the golem's arm reaches out, bumps into the plinth, but does not engage you. You are very lucky.
Good.
Then...
Why can't it kill itself?
Then...
From the golem's eyes, two beams of light reach out to strike you. You need to make a constitution saving throw.
Adam, what?
You fail a constitution saving throw. Big T, you are blind.
What? What?
You look into the golem's eyes. It's, imagine, you know how you're never, you know how they tell you not to look directly into a laser?
Yes.
I'm aware of this advice, yes.
You look directly into a laser.
Classic
and
Big T.
You close your eyes. It is so painful. But when you open them up, you still can't see anything but a blinding white light.
And does this feel permanent?
Then it is Glubble and Yeola's turn.
You can't do this to me. It's illegal.
Right. Okay. So, if I were to shape water and, like, try to push the golem away, either by moving, say, that 5-foot cube of water, say, that's underneath the golem to shift it to the side so that for a brief moment there's nothing and it falls, is that possible to kind of push it away a little bit?
A athletics check from you based on your strength, I would make it based on your wisdom.
Okay.
Versus a athletics check on the creature.
Okay, well, I'll try and, shape water to push it away. How athletic can this golem be? Really? It is nimble and swimming. The
golem, when you shift the water, it creates a semi-powerful current within a 5-foot space. The golem begins sliding a little bit, but then grabs the plinth to stop itself from moving, and you see the eyes track up to look at you, Glubble. What would you like Yeola to do?
Well, that's not good. Can I also then move, or is that...
You can move, yeah.
I'll try and swim up away from
all right,
this.
You swim upwards.
I don't like that it's locked on. Hey! Ha! Yeola.
This is...
You're not talking. No one's talking. Like, no one knows that... Big T is kind of thrashing a little bit in pain after that. You saw the beam attack, but you don't know what's happened.
Yeah, we don't. Okay.
You still get to control Yeola, but Yeola is acting basically of their own accord. We can imagine this as Yeola taking their own initiative.
Yep. I would, we create or destroy water in a 30-foot space. Could she destroy it directly under the golem so it falls 30 feet?
The golem is not 30 feet off the ground, unfortunately. Okay. It was the table, it's not actually traveled very far.
Okay.
You are, all of you, kind of at the bottom of this pool.
Okay.
It's actually, you don't destroy 30 feet of water, you destroy 10 gallons of water. You can destroy 30 feet of fog. That's maybe where you're getting confused.
Maybe. 10 gallons seems enough. Okay. What would help Big T? Maybe a shield of faith? Yeah.
Would you like to cast that? Can that be cast at a higher level? Can you upcast?
No. Just a low level. Just a shield of faith around Big T. And Yeola is also going to start trying to get the hell out of here.
Yeola also begins swimming upwards.
We're assuming that the golems can't swim. That's my assumption.
Didn't we just see them swim?
The golem certainly moved, but it didn't have to go very far. Big T, you do not know what's happening. You must act, because you can't hear your friends, you certainly can't see them either. You must act as if you do. You just, Cass, you need to try to just do what Big T would do in a situation where they are blind and do not know what's happening.
How close was the golem to me when it missed?
It's right next to you, basically.
Okay. I say, I can't see!
You open your mouth, it fills with water.
Look, trying to talk underwater, classic Big T move.
Feel like a Big T move.
I mean, Cass's face right now, genuinely shocked.
Yeah, Cass is so shocked that you're still underwater.
Which just seems very apt. So,
yeah.
I swing my halberd.
Okay. You attack with disadvantage because you're moving through water, mm-hmm. and that is not easy.
They don't let you do that.
You feel the halberd connect solidly with the golem, and you feel yourself push a little bit. Like, it's sturdy. The golem is sturdy, but you hit it very solidly, and you feel it crumple a little beneath your blow. Glubble, you see Big T connect solidly with the control plinth, crumple it, and break it.
Perfect. Clever, because that's what the golem grabbed onto, so she's helping me out. Good work, Big T. Yes.
That's not going to be any problem.
Nothing is wrong right now. Everything is happening. Everything is working as intended.
Do we think that if the control panel breaks, that could potentially kill us forever?
Why? The plinth probably doesn't do anything. You don't know. You don't. Well, yeah, Big T doesn't even know to ask the question. You just don't know.
Yeah.
No, this is, look, you clearly saw the golem grab the plinth while I tried to push it away. Good thinking, Big T.
Every day I do my best.
The golem lashes out to try and attack you, Big T. It misses, and then... it critically missed, but no one is really aware of how it critically missed. So, unfortunately, no one's really there to capitalize on a certain situation. Anyway, the golem then plants both of its hands firmly on the ground. Still, this entire time, it has not stopped looking at you, Global. Uh-huh. Then, with its two hands firmly on the ground, uh-huh. it shoves downwards and rockets upwards at a tremendous speed. Yeah, the golem slams off into you, Global. Both of you, good news, both of you surface. Bad news, as it slams into you, it deals 6 points of damage. And then I need to roll. Oh, you're very lucky.
Okay.
I'm rolling to see when it can use that blinding thing again.
Ah, right. Okay.
And Glubble, it's your turn. You have surfaced. Chantal, Ziamia, and Sarin are there, and they look shocked to see the two of you surface.
Okay. Right. Whew, that took a lot out of my... okay. if I were to jump using the magic initiate spell that I have, can I jump out of the water, or is that just more of a... That's physically impossible.
I suppose you could try to kick off the golem. I would meet... first off, the golem would get an attack of opportunity on you.
I don't like that.
That's kind of unavoidable.
Okay.
Then I would say you would need to make a acrobatics check just to be able to make the jump. But okay. If you pass that acrobatics check, I'll let you push off the golem.
Okay. And okay. How close am I to literally scrabbling out of the water?
Well, you didn't have Yeola destroy 10 gallons of water. That's so that was ultimately a smart move because you would have had trouble getting out otherwise.
Ah, clever us. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
You aren't particularly far. It would be maybe a 10-foot distance that you'd need to span.
Okay. Just trying to think, what did we learn at all?
If you wanted to, you could swim to the edge of the pool, mm-hmm. and there's like the stairs to get up and down, and that would be a much easier way out, obviously. You could just walk out from there.
Yes, but then the golem will golem will find me anyway.
Golem's kind of probably following anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Both options would... Oh, well, if you swam to the edge, you could disengage. That would be mm-hmm. your turn, but no attacks of all.
Okay, well, look, let's try and, you know what, I'm going to try and jump. I will do that. I will try and jump off all the right. golem.
The golem swipes at you first. Critical hit.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, that sucks, my dude. Double damage and you gain a level of exhaustion. The golem punches you in the stomach so hard that you are winded. You take 12 points of damage.
Could I instead just shrug it off and cash in a good boy card for a D10 plus my level?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you use the walk it off. Sure. You regain 5, 9 points of damage. So you still took, what was that? It was 12. So you still took 3 points of damage. And you still do gain a level of exhaustion, but it's not as bad as it could have been.
Okay. So I get punched. Do I still use the jump?
Yeah, I'd allow you to still be able to do it. Yeah, well, so whether or not you pass the acrobatics check is the important part.
Yes. Now I'm a bit tired.
Okay, so
yes,
you fucked that up.
Figured as much.
Yeah, you, because partially from being winded, when you try to balance yourself on the golem, you're like, you fall back into the water. It's what would you like Yaola to do?
She still hasn't noticed Big T, who's blinded.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can fix that. That's so good. Okay. I guess she will cast Spiritual Weapon.
Sure. A warhammer made out of like a spectral light appears out of the water just above the golem. Mm-hmm. It swings downwards, striking the golem, dealing 6 points of damage to it.
That's something. And I guess she'll start swimming towards the water away from the golem so she can start scrambling out.
And Big T, you are aware of none of this.
I never am.
The last thing for you that happened is that you hit the golem.
I would like to hit the golem again. Can I kick out of the water, or is it just too deep at this point?
You could kick upwards, but you wouldn't be able to swim out in one turn.
Can I kick upwards and attack, or?
Yeah, you could do both.
I'd like to kick upwards and say, I can't see.
Water fills your mouth again. You maybe should stop doing that, Big T, because you're going to start drowning. You
but I'm swing, trying to kick out of the water.
Yeah, you just don't want to start drowning before you leave, I guess. You're not going to surface this turn.
Oh, okay.
You strike the golem a second time, and you feel like you must have broken its arm, because something definitely metal and stone, but thin, just broke underneath your halberd strike. You think you might have taken off one of the arms of the golem. You kick off and upwards.
Ah, perfect.
It is the golem's turn. You see the massive dent and damage that the hammer dealt to the golem. Boom! It pops back into place and looks as good as new.
What?
This isn't allowed. You're not allowed to do this.
This golem, despite the fact that it is only half a golem, quite clearly not even at half strength right now. It definitely has several modifications. This is a much more terrifying golem.
All right. Thanks. Good. Good to know. Good to know.
The golem launches itself. Yeah, launches it. It can't push off. Luckily, it can't get onto the walkway right now. But it's going to launch itself towards Glubble, I guess.
Why would it not?
Glubble, it grabs you and you both begin sinking. As it grabs you, it drags you in and then punches you in the face. You take 6 points of damage.
Okay.
And then, Glubble, it is your turn. Sorry. I should have also rolled for... Now that everyone else is aware of what's happening, everyone else can act as well.
Oh, that's good.
Including me.
No, unfortunately. Not right now, at least. All right, they're in the initiative order, but you are still next, Global. So, Plank, okay. What were you going to do?
Fuck it. I'm going to turn into a shark. A reef shark and attack.
Okay. You turn into a reef shark. Do you still, as a reef shark, hold your breath?
What? I'm in the water, aren't I?
Yeah. So are you going to be... Do sharks breathe air or water?
Water.
Water. They've got gills.
All right. So you're letting your gills work?
I don't like this, Adam.
Using your gills? Look, I'm letting you know. I'm going to remind you. This might... Look, whether or not Glubble thinks of this in the heated moment of combat, whether or not Glubble is thinking of this is another matter. But when I was first describing this water to you, I described it as brackish, looking limestoney, and not safe to drink.
Okay, so if it were to breathe this in, okay.
It could be very bad for you. Whether or not Glubble is thinking that in this hectic moment is up to Glubble. I will let you make that determination, but let me know if you do.
I figured probably in the moment I would not realize this. But it has been right. We did see brackish. I'm just thinking, would I turn into a shark or would I go, say, more like a crocodile or something like that where I wouldn't have to drink the water, but with the advantages is there.
You can become a crocodile.
So, yes, I will try. Look, I'll go with a crocodile and hold my breath.
All right. You become a crocodile. Mm. Oh, you can hold your breath for 15 minutes. That's cool. You bite the iron golem. You can see that you know that your bite is misplaced. With the iron golem you were fighting before, you could tell that this bite would not have done anything. But the iron golem you are currently fighting is only half built. So there are a lot of missing plates and shields that should be incorporated into it that are not. And so when you bite down, you find your teeth find extra purchase and you find that you can puncture armor a lot. Well, you can puncture armor. You do cause damage.
Great news.
You deal 5 points of damage.
Perfect.
You can grapple it as well. Would you like to grapple it?
Yeah.
All right.
That seems smart with an iron golem, because it can't drown. It does seem stupid to grapple.
Whether or not it actually gets... Well, it does get grappled. You bite down and you death roll it.
Yep.
You're death rolling it. The iron golem is basically restrained by you.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Which means that its speed is zero. Attack rolls against it have advantage, and its attack rolls have disadvantage, and it has disadvantage on dexterity saving throws. What would you like Yeola to do? She gets out of the water. She's on the stairs leading up to the catwalk.
I guess can she target like a grappled person easily, or is that just a hard to do?
She gets advantage.
Oh, does she? That's fucking great news. What is her most powerful spell right now? Oh, well, the spiritual weapon, that can go and hit right?
It attacks again. It hits, dealing a further 7 points of damage.
Yeah, okay. That's only something. Look, Guiding Bolt worked last time for her.
Sure.
So let's cast it. As a
first or second?
Let's go second.
All right.
And now a quick word from our sponsors. This is a message for all the seasoned and aspiring DMs out there. Do you wish to treat your players like the common dogs they are by rewarding them with treats? Well, then do we have the solution for you. Our patented Good Boy cards will make your players feel like they're doing a good job while at the same time dehumanizing them without their knowledge. Are they mad at you? Deflect by telling them they're a good boy and hand out one of our Good Boy cards. The complete deck of 50 cards is available from our website, sanspantsradio.com/shop, with each having a unique ability your players can use in-game or hoard and never use like the dog brain idiots they are. We also have bad boy cards available for when you want to treat yourself to something nice. Grab either or both in a bundle while stocks last. Once again, that's sanspantsradio.com/shop.
Bolt of arcane... Oh, she gets advantage. She needed it. A bolt of arcane energy arcs over you, Global, striking the golem in your mouth. The golem takes 5d6 damage. That one blast was powerful enough to rupture several containers, compartments, and elements of the iron golem. Golems obviously can't lose blood, but the iron golem is bloodied.
Mm. This is great news, and I'm so glad I'm helping.
Yes. Big T, what would you like to do?
I'd like to continue trying to rise to the surface.
You shoot upwards. You surface. You can hear combat. You hear something massive thrashing nearby. It must be the golem.
Oh, no, they woke up another one?
Maybe. Do you say that? You can speak now.
I can't see.
First you cough up a lot of water, then you say,
I can't see. Is there one? Oh, is he over there?
Unfortunately, that is your turn, though.
I suppose when I don't get attacked, I realize that is the golem has moved.
Then it is the NPC's turn. Chantel fires a light crossbow. It misses, unfortunately. She is trying very hard not to hit the massive crocodile, and needs to carefully judge her shot. Tharin is going to... Well, she knows her psychic attacks aren't going to work against it, so there's not a lot that she can actually do. She throws a dagger.
She's doing her best.
The dagger hits, embeds itself, and deals 5 points of damage.
Hey, that's something.
And then Ziamia casts Chill Touch, which is neither a touch spell nor does it do cold damage.
Why would it?
The anger, the fury, the comedy. It's really a melting pot of everything you can feel as a person.
Ziamia does another 5 points of damage. The necromantic energy channeled through the golem. It shifts. It like judders. It slowly comes to a complete halt. Gives one final thrash, then stops. It becomes inert in your mouth, Global. We are out of initiative. It sinks to the bottom.
Hello?
Yaola calls out, "Over here, swim to me."
I do my best.
You swim to Yaola. You do like a doggy paddle over to Yaola. Yaola helps you out of the water.
Thank you.
While that's happening, I might dive down as a crocodile and see if anything else was around there. Search for loot, Adam. Something we have yet to do in a long, long time. Let me nuzzle stuff with my big crocodile mouth.
Yaola inspects you while that's happening. Yaola inspects you, Big T, and says, It's a magical blindness. It should pass, hopefully, she says. Eventually, you begin to see like pinpricks in the light that is actual vision. Slowly, those pinpricks get bigger and bigger and bigger until you're staring at the rest of the party, with the exception of Glubbel, who is still fishing for loot. You find the rest of the party staring kind of half concerned at you. Half concerned, looking at you with worried looks.
No, it's fixed. I'm back.
They're all like, whew. They're relieved that another member of this party hasn't lost something.
So at the moment, all of the iron golems are underwater in a stasis state.
No, they've been taken out of the stasis state. So there were four in total. Three of them, they were all being either modified or repaired or something. They were being taken apart and put back together for some purpose. Mm. Possibly, like one of them, the one that you fought, was clearly an upgraded version of a regular iron golem. Three of them would have been maybe deactivated or turned off, and that last one, for whatever reason, while it was being worked on, was active and presumably has been stuck in that stasis field for God only knows how long.
So they're all just deactive at the moment.
Yeah, all of the ones at the bottom of the pool right now are inert. Then none of them are doing or will do anything unless tampered with, I suppose. All right, searching around the bottom here, a lot of the equipment here has been destroyed, like I said, through being exposed to water for God only knows how long. You do, however, find it would be not easy to collect these things as a crocodile.
Yeah.
Coins would be almost impossible for you to pick up. That's so you fair. Might need to change to collect them. But you find 180 gold coins in total, just scattered around the place. You find a set of smithy tools made out of bone.
Mm.
Which somehow survived the... Maybe they're in like a sealed container.
Okay.
And you find a sealed, like a map scroll, basically. A case that you would put a scrolled piece of paper in that you can see the waxwork on it is still has held its seal. So whatever is inside is potentially still potentially still viable.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. If I can, I'll just try and scoop up the sealed map scroll. Mm-hmm. And that's about, I don't know if I can hold anything else. Mm-hmm. And then I'll surface. Because I can't talk in my animal shape, can
no,
I?
No, you cannot.
All right, well, I'll surface as a crocodile.
Sure.
And whoever is near me, I guess he'll
Big T, that might be a bit shocking for you.
Oh, hang on. No, I can see that you're not here.
I'll just open my mouth with the sealed map scroll and be like,
"Oh, thank you."
Yeah. Nothing else was there. Like, there was a sealed entrance, basically. There was nothing, nowhere else to explore.
No, there's nowhere else to explore down there. The control pillar, the little plinth thing, has been thoroughly broken by someone.
Was there any other thing underwater? Nah, I guess I'll turn back into a man again. Oh, yeah, a man again. Right. Yes, it was just crack open the scroll case. There's not much down there, but managed to find this some scattered coins, but I couldn't really grab them. But we did find this.
You unseal it, and within is a still usable spell scroll. It would be written in Draconic. So, do either of you know Draconic?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Well, you read the.
I don't know why I looked. I can't read.
That's fair. I also forgot that.
I was like, "There's a third language that I keep forgetting I have." Giant.
You can speak giant. You speak giant.
Oh.
It is a spell scroll. You see, up the top is the word knock. You know this spell.
Yeah, right. This is okay. We can go through like cast anything that's locked, we can unlock.
Oh, I thought you meant knock as in the guy we met.
No. Knock is in a K-N-O's. Oh, you know what? It's a different. It sounds similar, but it means something different.
It sounds the same.
Yes. Yes. So it sounds the same, but means something completely different. One's a name, and one's like knock, like a door. Like a door, knock on a door. You know.
I know language. I just don't know how to spell.
Yeah, I know. I started saying it was a K, and I realized that's a conversation we don't need.
Yeah.
I assume the guy was spelled with an N-O-K. Anyway, we've got this spell. Shall we go upstairs and get the other control sphere?
Yes.
Now that we've got two in our pockets?
I think that sounds smart.
Yes. Can I use that spell scroll, or is that a only certain people?
Anyone who can read this, there are two different types of spells. It's frustrating. There are two different types. One type requires you to basically already know the spell, and the other type, not basically. One type requires you to be already able to cast the spell. The other type is just like, basically, it's a piece of paper. The piece of paper is charged with magical energy, and you only need to be able to read it. And once you have read it, then the spell is cast. And that is, it is that type of spell. So all you need to do is read this scroll, and the spell is cast.
So like, one's a recipe book and one's a HelloFresh.
Kind of, yeah.
Do you have a fridge? Sometimes important.
Very important. Okay, I'll pocket that scroll, and yeah, we'll go upstairs, do the plinthy things.
Lock both of them. Yep. Yeah. When two control spheres are placed in either of the little sockets, you hear a click 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 ding, and then the doors open.
I believe it was over here.
You collect another control sphere. I assume Global, you're grabbing that one?
Yep, I'll just grab it. Yeah. Useful. Right, anything else in that room? A quick once over? Or is it all just very much decayed and decrepit?
There's, I suppose you could find maybe like, actually, you know what? You could find some equipment here. There's it looks like there's a little station. As you come in, so this would be the sort of thing that you, the first thing that you encounter as you come or leave this bunkhouse area. There is like a wardrobe of sorts made out of stone, and in it there are several sets of metal armor. Do you want to inspect the sets of metal armor?
Yeah,
they're hung up like you would hang a suit in a wardrobe. So they're
I think it's disgusting, but I have a look.
These do not seem like very functional suits of armor. They're not like, they are made of metal plates, but you don't think it would afford you actually much. You don't actually think it would afford you much armor. Like this would probably, regular armor of this level would give you like an AC of 18, but this one you think would only give you an AC of like 12. The armor is, you can see it's in specific places. It looks like the armor favors the upper body more so than the lower body. Like the helmet part looks like it's really sturdy. And then maybe the shoulder parts also look quite sturdy. But the rest of it is maybe either leather or just chainmail.
I guess this is like a formal, maybe potentially like a formal suit of armor.
You're not sure?
Or perhaps what they would wear when they were crafting or making the golems. I would have a guess.
They are all sized for a dwarf.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's for if you sit down and have a fight.
Maybe. And I don't know much about dwarves, to be honest.
Sit down, fight. Especially these ones. A novel concept.
Yeah. Perhaps we will debate the merits of a sit-down fighting next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.
Adam here, resident dungeon master to the stars. Did you know that myself and Jackson host a show here on Sanspants Radio where we create and show off homebrew content that we ourselves have created? It's called House Rules, and if you've ever struggled for making your own content, then it may just be perfect for you. Some episodes will come in with stories, classes, and abilities that we've already made and tell you about them so you can see where we've succeeded and failed. And sometimes we'll even make the content on air so you can follow along at home and make your own, or even improve upon ours. Head on down to sanspantsradio.com and sign up for a king-level subscription today to start listening.